Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
Hey, babies, this is Cleo.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Queercast show number 567. Feeling a little more like springtime. It's April. It's deep in April now here in Chicago. Well, not deep, but we're on the backside of it. So we're here. And April Fools. It's not an April Fools. It's actually an April reality that I'm Amy Matheny, your host. And again, my co-host today for the show is Ms. Cleo, back with me for a twofer. We got a two for one with Cleo this time. Hey, Cleo, how are you?
How you doing, darling? I'm doing lovely. Deja vu, huh?
I know. I'm so glad to have you on. It's what I always say to Mitchell when he goes on the boats and we miss having him on for 4 months or something like that. He tends right. to crop up a lot. I'm like, okay, come downstairs. Let's talk about what's going on in the world. And so I'm so glad to have you back on. And I have to say the last Queercast, I'm sure many people listened to multiple times or paused and rewound and took notes because it's always just so chocked full of very simple things that are very hard to do that you challenge us and bring to our attention. I kind of say sometimes it's like the starfish on the face. It's not that we don't know these things. It's too close to us. And I appreciate the perspective that you give us. And you mentioned in the last show about this is really 2014 for you and for what you see as a year of creativity. It's a year of limiting what is creative, that what you say is your creative energy that you put out in the world and the power of that. And it's a time for love and to find what makes your heart and soul sing. And all of that is going to take some time and doing things differently. Yeah. So to be gentle with ourselves and be patient, be more patient than we know we can be and to be okay with that uncomfortableness. But you obviously practice what you preach, and that's what I love about you. If I can say, speak from kind of my upbringing, you walk the walk and talk the talk, and that's rare. But you have used 2014 as a big year to launch and lend your voice and be creative. The first thing I want to talk about is this new documentary that you're a part of. Which is called Hotline, and I know it's premiering in Toronto. Just tell us real briefly about you know what the documentary is about and how you came to be a part of it.
Very cool. The documentary is one of the reasons I decided to participate in it. One of them was that I love the angle, and it talks about in this technical age where we can get everything by, you know, text or email or this or that or the other, that the human connection is still so very, very relevant. And the young filmmaker, he spoke with everything from the suicide hotline to campus, you know, counseling lines to LGBT hotlines to the turkey baster people hotline, you know, Butterball. And when he approached me, he said, there is no way for us not to address, there's no way we can address hotlines if we don't talk to Ms. Cleo.
I agree.
And so he approached me through my people. And, you know, I get asked to do a number of things, and a lot of them I will say no to most of the time. But this young man had a plus in his pocket because he worked for a larger production company while he's still trying to break out on his own. And he happened to work with one of my godsons. And so I got a hold of my godson, and I said, okay, who is this person, and what's your take on them? So that was the second reason, and probably the more important one, why I worked with a gentleman by the name of Tony Schaaf, because he knew my godson, and my godson said he was good people. And from that point forward, I was good to go. And I told him, though, I said, if you screw up, I said, my godson's going to have to pay. I said, so just so you're aware. And so that's how I got involved. But I love the precept of it. They flew in from New York. They came to my home. They made it fairly painless. They've done an amazing job with the trailer. So I cannot even imagine how amazing the film itself must be.
So you've and not seen the film of, yet, right?
But I have not seen it yet either. No. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time watching myself on television or anyway. It's crazy. I can't do it. I don't know what that is, but you know, vanity and ego, I'm sure. But they made it. They seem to have done a very good job, and so I'm very happy for them. I hope that the film does well. I will be in Toronto. It is one of the more significant. It's called Hot Docs, HOTDOCS.com. If anyone is interested, it's one of the third largest in the Americas. And one of the top 10 in the world, this film festival. Mm-hmm. And premieres at the end of April. And so I will be up there for the premiere and a little after party kind of thing. Now, here's what you call patience, though. I shot this film almost 2 years ago to the month.
Wow.
Almost 2 years ago. And so when they came and they approached me and, yeah, well, okay, everybody wants to be an independent filmmaker these days. You know, after Slumlord Millionaire, a few other ones, people are inspired. I love that. And they came, they did, and I saw, was not even expecting to hear anything from them. I didn't know.
Right.
I have moved on. But here it is. So that is, therein lies that patience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Planted a seed 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, and I didn't fret over it, and I didn't obsess about it. I let it move along.
Yeah.
Until we're at this point. So it is very exciting, and absolutely, I am hoping that it wins some kind of award, and it will be available for people to see, period. I think it'll do well. Matter of fact, I know it will do well, because it's phenomenal. It really, really is. They did an amazing job of putting the people together that they have
it's so important. It's so important what you talk about, you know, and it's that premise that you said of the human connection, and it's always been important. You know, I mean, I remember starting in radio at Les By Gay Radio back in the late 90s, 97, 98. And I remembered that the most powerful thing was the amount of closeted people who would call in. And at that time, gosh, I don't even remember that email was a big deal. I mean, there was some emailing going on, right? But I mean, this is the advent of even email to the mainstream. I know there were some university people who emailed in the early 90s and maybe even the mid 90s, but it's, you know, just started around this time too, right? That people got their own email address. And I know if you're young and you're listening to this, you can't even imagine that because we did not have cell phones, you know, but, But I say that because at that time, and because if you're listening to this, you're listening to a queer cast, which is, you know, a new option to radio, a new option to human connection. And that I realized the importance that for the first time I had the aha of like, wow, this is a very anonymous way to hear another GLBT person talk and tell their story. And even if they didn't call in, just to hear it, just to hear the human voice. And just from the trailer of this documentary to say that people who work hotlines, you can hear the tone in people's voice. You can hear how fast their pace, that how much we garner from hearing the human voice and not, you know, and how many times now today in 2014 do we say, oh, I must have misinterpreted your email, right?
Thank you.
I didn't get the tone right in your email. Well, it's because, you know what, I don't know how to make enough smiley faces or enough little symbols that you understand what my tone is. And it's so important, right? This connection. But I do think as GLBT people, and, you know, because our suicide rate is higher, because our youth homeless rate is higher, because in so many areas of at risk, which is normally a big chunk or often, I would say, you know, I don't have any statistics on this, but in my mind's eye, when I hear a hot line, there is something hot and burning and pressing that I need to talk to someone about, right?
Right.
And to me, that can evoke an at-risk situation. And as GLBT people, we understand an at-risk situation. And so I think that, you know, it's been so wonderful to have hotlines and outlets in the 80s around the AIDS crisis, with the Trevor Project around young kids wanting to kill themselves. You know, it started in the 90s. And now more and more, you know, we have more approaches to hotline opportunities for us as GLBT people. And I think it's great that it sounds like a lot of those are profiled in the show, and their impact on a community, an impact on a group of people. I think that hotlines have been so significant to GLBT people in every way.
Very, very true. And I'm trying to, and he was, you know, very open to the GLBT. I mean, again, young people, you know, they don't operate, majority of them, so it appears to me these days, being an older person, they don't operate with the same kind of, I don't know, the limitations, the boxes, they seem to be disappearing. Now, for those of us who are over 50 plus, we struggle a bit, and it looks a little bit frightening to us from this end.
Right.
But the thing that frightens me the most is the concept that I don't get to, that people, I can't write an email if it's about something difficult. You understand? If it's about, I need to pick up the phone.
Yes.
But I will tell you that last year, my sister-in-law crossed over in February 25th, and somebody sent me the notification in a friggin' email.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. In the essence of it, and stepping back from it, it's no big deal per se.
Sure.
But my sister and I was like my sister. Mm. She was my heart. I thought I was losing my mind when I read this email, you know, and immediately called my brother, and my brother didn't even recognize my voice because he's just found out that his wife has died. Wife of 43 years, by the way. Mm. And 43 tough years because he was 6'3 and blue-black, and my darling sister-in-law was redhead, 5 foot, barely 5 foot, and alabaster skin. And for the first 10 years of their relationship, they met in 73, and for the first, 1970, and for the first 10 years of their relationship, her family disowned her because she was with my brother. So these are not people who live life, you know, haplessly. They created their own world.
Yes.
I love my brother, bless his heart, because when he left, and again, you can create. I just want to reiterate, I remember talking to him maybe 2 or 3 days after, my sister-in-law had crossed over, and he said, baby doll, because that's what he called me. He said, baby doll. He said, I don't have time for this. He said, 2 years of grieving. He said, I ain't got time for it. And he was gone. And I love my brother because he's so freaking cool. So I'm going to say this out there to all of my brethren who know how to bun a tree or sip some tea. He crossed over on 420.
Wow.
And 420, you know, because he loved this con same way. And so I just think that was my brother. Like, yeah, man, I'm out of here. You know, I'm going to go be with my wife. And one part of me says that for so many times we've been taught that love cannot be for forever. And I think that that's garbage. Mm-hmm. Because I don't believe that anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I know how much my brother loved his wife.
Yeah.
And he made a choice, honey. You hear me? Mm-hmm. He made a choice and said, I'm the blip out of here. I'm going with her.
Mm.
And so that lesson alone set off a chain reaction in my world.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were my two greatest mentors. One of the two. I always used to say, I want to be like you two when I grow up. And they may not have been more than 6 or 7 years older than I was.
Right.
But they had it together. They seemed to, nothing could take them.
Mm.
So it appeared to me.
Yeah.
And even still, like I said, that's the greatest love story I've ever personally been involved in.
Mm.
You know, I have to look at it that way. But in that looking at it, like I said, you know, we get to create. And there were a number of things that were off in my world. There was a few pieces of baggage that I needed to let go of. And I decided I'm going to create my world differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what I did. And I set about to do that in a very different way. And, you know, it hasn't been the smoothest ride. You know, but it has certainly been one where I can tell you, my dear friend, and you know, we've known each other for a number of years now.
Yes.
I had the best New Year I've had in I don't know when.
Yeah.
I am healthier than I've been in I don't know when.
Yeah.
Except when I'm going in to go get me, you know, I was ill a couple of years ago and my teeth took a real beating from it because of the illness. So I'm going to go get me some new toothbrushes. I am just going to be so fabulous, honey. By the time May comes around, I'm not going to be able to stand myself.
I'm already not able to stand you. Let me tell you, it's killing me. I love it. Well,
I'm happy. I'm happy too. I'm like Pharrell. I am happy. I'm like a room without a roof, honey.
I know. You're just dancing around to that Pharrell. You're dancing around to that Pharrell song all day long. That's what you're doing.
Oh, I love that song.
That is our song of the year. I know. It's the song. It is the song that gets me through. Has gotten me through many a cold day here in Chicago.
Trust me.
Hey,
yes.
Let me tell you, we got a lot more to talk about on this Queercast. Lots happening in the news internationally. Also, what's happening here in the States and what's going on in the entertainment world. Also, spring theater is upon us. So many great shows. And gosh, get out and see some theater because it's not quite, you know, beach season yet here in Chicago. So go out and get tap into this creativity that Cleo's been talking to us about the past two shows. And, you know, it can be creative to go watch something creative and have a response to it and go out for dinner or drinks afterwards and talk with people or gather with friends to go see theater. You know, that's what I love about the arts, dance and theater and fine art. Is that we get to have a response to it. And to me, it feels a little different than when I check out and go see a movie. I really love the active engagement of this human connection. That's what we're talking about with this documentary. The documentary is called Hotline. And as Cleo lets me know where it's going to be playing and when, I will let you all know for sure, for sure. But those of you in Toronto that can get to Hot Docs, the big film festival, check it out and go support. And Cleo will be there in Toronto. And don't miss, keep your eyes peeled for Hotline, the documentary with Cleo coming to you. We'll be back. Cleo's going to tell us more about a new book coming up after all this.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Same-sex couples rushed to Michigan County Clerk's offices March 22nd to get married a day after a judge overturned the state's constitutional ban on gay marriage. and several hundred managed to do so before an appeals court reinstituted the ban, at least temporarily. The order by a federal appeals court in Cincinnati came after Glenna DeJong, 53, and Marsha Casper, 51, of Lansing, were the first to arrive at the Ingham County Courthouse in central Michigan city of Mason. The court's order for the reinstituted ban was posted just a few hours after it told the winning side to respond to Michigan Attorney General Bill Schutz's request for a stay by noon on March 25th.
Rivendell Media has released its popular annual gay press report to reveal that spending in gay press for 2013 was at a record high of $381.4 million, up 18.2% from 2012. Spending in circulation in LGBT print media increased in 2013, with circulation and readership up 15.1%.
Nearly 200 lawmakers signed a letter to President Obama urging him to use executive authority to ban workplace discrimination against LGBT employees of federal contractors. Not a single Republican in the House or Senate signed the letter to Obama, which Senators Jeff Merkley, the Democrat from Oregon, Tammy Baldwin, the Democrat from Wisconsin, and Tom Harkin, Democrat from Iowa, organized, along with the LGBT Equality Caucus in the House. More surprisingly, there were also 58 Democrats who didn't sign, including one independent senator who caucuses with the party.
Some of Florida's largest employers added their names to the Florida Businesses for a Competitive Workforce, urging passage of a bipartisan bill that would ban anti-gay and gender bias discrimination. Raymond James Financial in St. Petersburg, Winn-Dixie Stores in Jacksonville, On Top of the World Communities in Ocala, and the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce joined the coalition. They join other major Florida employers such as the Home Shopping Network, University of North Florida, Walt Disney World Resorts, and Wells Fargo.
A 46-year-old woman in Houston, Texas, has contracted HIV from her long-term lesbian lover. The case is the first to be recorded among gay women. The unidentified woman's status changed in the summer of 2012, which led to a nearly two-year investigation in which other forms of transmission were ruled out.
Some Firefox users are furious over the promotion to CEO Brendan Eich to lead Mozilla, the company that makes the world's second most popular internet desktop browser, Firefox. Eich actually co-founded Mozilla, but made headlines when it was reported he had donated $1,000 to support California's anti-gay Prop 8 bill in 2008.
The openly gay speaker of the Rhode Island House of Representatives, Gordon Fox, abruptly resigned following a police raid on his home the day before a criminal investigation. Federal and state police agents with search warrants entered Fox's home and state house office and took away boxes of evidence. Fox has twice been ordered to pay civil fines to the State Ethics Commission.
In an effort to encourage unity among its church partners, the U.S. part of the highly influential Evangelical Christian Relief and Development Ministry, World Vision, has announced it will permit Christians in legal same-sex marriages to be employed. Richard Stearns, president of the U.S. branch, called it a very narrow policy change that should be regarded as symbolic, not of compromise, but of Christian unity.
In world news, Dominican LGBT rights advocates remain hopeful that gay U.S. ambassador to the Dominican Republic, James Wally Brewster, will continue to generate more visibility around their nascent movement in the Caribbean country. In reality, the Dominican LGBT community is not a rather large community, so Brewster could have a big impact.
A same-sex couple from Russia's Olympic city of Sochi has married in Buenos Aires and plans to seek asylum in Argentina. Gay rights activists in Buenos Aires say Argentina should provide refuge to people who are being persecuted for their sexual orientation in other countries.
In India, a political party that wants gay sex to stay illegal has found an interesting place to advertise for supporters, Grindr. Indians have been checking the gay hookup app to see the Bharatiya Janata Party's advertisement calling on gay people to vote to keep gay sex illegal.
An ex-gay ministry purported to be the largest in Australia has recently announced it will cease operations. Living Waters Australia director Ron Brookman announced the end of the ministry.
Local authorities in Tokyo banned an HIV awareness billboard that featured cartoon gay men because one of the men's underpants could be seen. The billboard was erected in Tokyo's Nikome Gay District in Shinjuku. The billboard shows a group of men lying down in a circle head-to-head, resting against one another, and one of them, a bodybuilder, is wearing just underpants. The others are fully clothed.
Delivery service Canada Post is apologizing after an anti-gay flyer was distributed to residents of a small Labrador community. The 8-page manifesto was delivered to residents of Happy Valley, Goose Bay, stating in some detail that homosexuality was a sin.
And in entertainment news, Hairspray film director Adam Shankman is attached to direct and produce a new project for HBO Films based on the life of Rose Hovick, to be titled Madame Rose. Madame Rose will tell the true story of the woman whose life was depicted in the memoirs of her daughters, June Havoc and Gypsy Rose Lee, as well as the Tony Award-winning musical, Gypsy.
Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin will reunite for a 13-episode comedy called Grace and Frankie. It's from the Friends co-creator, Marta Kaufman. 34 years after the classic film 9 to 5, Fonda and Tomlin are reuniting for this new Netflix series about women brought together when their husbands decide to marry each other.
Jose Antonio Vargas's documentary, entitled Documented, will be released in select New York theaters and Los Angeles theaters prior to its television broadcast on CNN. The documentary, which the openly gay Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist wrote, produced, and directed, centers on Vargas's experience as an undocumented immigrant and a crusader for immigration reform.
Out actor Dan Bukatinski of Scandal will co-star on the NBC comedy Marry Me. Although the show focuses on a straight engaged couple, Bukatinski will play the father to the female half of the couple and the husband to SNL alum Tim Meadows.
Ice skater Johnny Weir's divorce from husband Victor Voronoff is apparently getting nasty. Weir and Voronoff, who is a Russian lawyer, married 2 years ago. However, Weir's complaint for divorce notes a temporary restraining order that was filed January 23rd and dismissed the following day. The couple also appeared in court March 5th, asking a judge to dismiss charges made against Weir following a violent domestic dispute.
In what would be her first new role since coming out as a lesbian, Oscar-nominated actress Ellen Page is in talks to play John Belushi's wife, Judith Jacklin, opposite Emile Hirsch in Steve Conrad's upcoming biopic. Jacklin was Belushi's loving high school girlfriend who eventually married the comedian and was left devastated by his death.
Tyler Glenn, lead singer for the Utah New Wave pop quartet Neon Trees and a Mormon his entire life, revealed he is gay in the newest issue of Rolling Stone. Glenn said he's known he was gay since he was a young child, but kept his sexuality a secret until now.
USA Network has renewed the show White Collar, which stars out-gay actor Matt Boomer, for a 6-episode, 6th season. The network declined to confirm whether that will be the final season.
HBO documentary film's gay rights documentary, The Case Against 8, will receive a platform theatrical release on June 6th. The Sundance and South by Southwest Award winner is scheduled to run in theaters in Los Angeles and New York on June 6th, followed by an expanded release June 13th ahead of its June 23rd premiere on HBO. The film follows the Supreme Court case that overturned California's Proposition 8, which had banned same-sex marriage in the state.
GLAAD will honor Jennifer Lopez at the 25th Annual GLAAD Media Awards in Los Angeles at the Beverly Hilton on April 12th. Lopez will receive GLAAD's Vanguard Award, which is presented to artists and media professionals who, through their work, have increased the visibility and understanding of the LGBT community. Lopez is the executive producer on the ABC family show, The Fosters.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Sharon Gless, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 31st, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. It's a comedy about history, mythology, gender roles, and high school. Join the Boutface Theater and Silk Road Rising as they present Brahmin E, a one-hijra stand-up comedy show by Aditi Brennan Kapil, directed by AFT Artistic Director Andrew Volkoff, and featuring Fauzia Mirza. Tickets at aboutfacetheater.com, playing now through April 27th at Silk Road Rising in the historic Chicago Temple Building.
The Chicago premiere of Songs from an Unmade Bed is playing now at the Apollo Theater Studio. It's a fun, sexy musical about two gay men living in the city, brought to you by Pride Films and Plays. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. Have a nightcap with the boys at Songs from an Unmade Bed.
Route 66 Theater Company, producer of the award-winning Twist of Water, transports you to rural Mississippi in the premiere of Cicada by openly gay playwright Jerry Dye. It's the story of 17-year-old Ace, longing to leave home but struggling with how to tell his mama. Dramatist Beth Henley says playwright Jerry Dye is a vibrant force in American theater with an undeniable Southern sensibility. Don't miss this beautiful new play. Cicada is playing April 9th through May 25th. For tickets, visit cicadatheplay.com.
Main Stage welcomes Queer Queens of Comedy, featuring comedian Poppy Champlin with Jenny McNulty and Sandra Valls, April 13th. Tickets to the very funny and edgy Queer Queens of Comedy are on sale now at mainstage.com. That's mayne stage.com.
525,600 minutes. Spend 150 of them at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. It will change your life. Rent is playing at the Paramount March 12th through April 6th. It's the theater critics are calling the real Broadway in Chicago. Tickets for Rent on sale now at ParamountAurora.com.
Chicago Shakespeare continues its exploration of the Sondheim canon with director Gary Griffin's Roadshow, featuring an ensemble of Chicago's favorite actor-musicians. Based on the lives of the boldly enterprising Meisner brothers, get-rich-quick schemes fuel this musical adventure, inspired by their ambitious pursuit of the American dream. Now playing through May 4th. For tickets, visit chicagoshakes.com.
Brandon was an Ivy League-bound jock at an elite East Coast prep school, but being gay didn't fit into his master plan. See Good Boys and True at Raven Theater in Edgewater. For tickets, visit RavenTheater.com. Good Boys and True at Raven Theater, now through May 3rd. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what
Cleo, you I swear you do so much, and I don't know how you do it all. But we were getting ready to talk about what we want to talk about today, and I was so excited about this documentary, and then you just drop in my lap. Yeah, and my book is dropping here also in April, and I'm like, what? Like what? Like, when do you have time to write a book? But you do.
Yeah, that was a feat.
We've got a few more minutes here, and I just want to hear what is the book, what's it about, and when is it coming out, and how do we get it?
Okay. The book is coming out April 6th. Pre-orders are now available on conversationswithcleo.com. Just go to Cleo's Corner Store at the website. And the book is entitled The Queen's Bridge, A Companion Guide for You and the People Who Love You While You Journey Through Menopause. Now, some of you out there probably laughing, saying, damn, Miss Claire, that's a long book title. Well, just stick with the Queen's Bridge, then.
That's how menopause feels, from what I hear. It's a long bridge.
Quite honestly, in a very spiritual moment, talking to my dun-dun, and I was asking, and she said, write about what you know. And that's okay. And I am in postmenopause now, my second year. And given all that I thought that I knew about menopause before I started it, I was absolutely gobsmacked at how little I knew. And that menopause actually can be a very dangerous time for women. And that the people around us don't understand it. Other women, if they've not gone through it, don't understand it. Your boyfriends, your brothers, your mother, your father, whomever. Because women who've gone through it before, irony that I found, if most of them forget, I'm like, how the hell do you forget this?
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know how it lasts, let me just drop this on you. 7 to 10 years. You want to talk about patience? You want to talk about a process? It's a process. And I felt, and the other challenge that really motivated me to write this book is that there was next to nothing. There's no book that I found. So if anybody out there finds one, let me know. But there was no book that I found that addressed lesbians and menopause.
Good for you, because I was going to say, you know, Jane Fonda's been trying to write about it, and Suzanne Somers, there's been some other celebrities, but I'm glad that there's a lesbian celebrity out there writing about menopause, because it's got to be different for us. Our health is different.
It's so different. There is an entire chapter dedicated to lesbians and what our Queensbridge may look like. Now, mind you, my partner is 11 years older than I am. So she had already journeyed her Queensbridge or gone through menopause. And it was important for me to change the word menopause because people don't like to talk about it. Women don't even like to talk about it. So I said, fine, let's get rid of the name and let's call it the Queensbridge because we are all queens. And we find our way to our ultimate throne once our body is done making the estrogen.
Amen.
And, you know, I made the point. I said, there are two very important times in a woman's life. And I didn't realize this until I was moving through menopause. It's the day you kiss estrogen hello and the day you kiss estrogen goodbye. And everything in between there doesn't really prepare you for what happens on this journey. And women don't talk to each other, and we won't engage about it. And I set out for about 4 years just talking to women any way I could about menopause. Everything from hot flashes to the loss of hair to things you didn't even know were going to change because nobody told you. Nobody told you.
Yeah.
Nobody tells you how dangerous actually the process of menopause can be to your life. We know you can die of childbirth, but nobody ever thinks about anybody dying because of their period.
Right.
But it can happen because it almost happened to me.
Hmm.
And so when this happened, and it has also had an impact on my relationship. Hmm. In that divorce rate is 3 out of 5 women will have an affair or leave their husband during menopause.
Wow.
The numbers are staggering. The numbers are staggering. Many women, 1 out of 4 come out of the closet or have or engage in a bisexual experience during menopause. Now, mind you, menopause, we're talking about 44, 45 and older.
Yes.
You know, so there are big changes. And unfortunately, due to some other extenuating circumstances by the book, my partner and my relationship, we have decided to go our separate ways. We are mm-hmm. still friends and we have grown deeply, but mm-hmm. it didn't survive
mm-hmm.
it. You know, again, other extenuating circumstances. But I felt compelled to share this with women. Women have to understand and recognize that we cannot wait for a male-dominated society to address our issues of the Queensbridge. It's not going to happen.
That is so true, because if we don't start writing about it, if this was a male issue, I mean, the interesting thing is how
the
much...
The books would be voluminous, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. there's so much that we would know about it, but it is this big... it is this big thing that even when you go to your doctor and they test your levels or whatever, I mean, it doesn't mm-hmm. really mean anything. They don't really know, you know?
They don't know. They tell you, we don't know.
Also,
there's no real way, and beaky. And how does that make a woman feel?
Well, it's...
And so I needed, and there are books out there that have a lot of legal, medical ease, and they didn't connect with me. I didn't get it. I was stopped reading after 10 sentences.
Yeah, we need a menopause hotline. Let's just merge your book and your documentary. We need a menopause hotline.
Put it together. Hey, that's not a bad idea.
That's your money-making idea, Cleo.
No, because here's the thing. You're going to think you're losing your mind.
Right.
It's just plain and simple. But I needed the title. I want the experience to be something that we can look to as a positive journey. Because people hear, oh, I think I'm going to lose my mind. And there are books out there that say, I thought I was losing my mind. All of it is negative.
Right.
I needed it to be something positive. Because at the end of this, I said to you earlier, I'm happy.
Yes.
And I am.
Yes.
But all of that at the end of me navigating the Queen's Bridge or menopause, mm-hmm. I'm happy, I'm healthy, I get me more than I've ever gotten me before, mm-hmm. I love me, I can find joy in a blade of grass.
Yes.
You know, I get what it is to create every moment I speak. Mm. I have no time for the foolishness. I have no more time. I've just made some very, I don't know, the feel-good decisions in my world. And I don't fear, like I said, got no time for it. What am I afraid? I'm not afraid. Huh. I'm not afraid. I got so close to death that the doctor, the specialist who was dealing with me, when she first came to see me, she said, I'm not going to examine you now. She was a hematologist. I said, I'm not going to examine you now. She said, but I needed to come over to your room. And I'm in ICCU hooked up. They're giving me blood transfusions through the nose. I mean, crazy blood coming into my body. They can't figure out why I don't stop bleeding. And she says, you have a hemoglobin of 2.
Wow.
She said, I've never met anybody with a hemoglobin of 2 that's still living.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, sweet pea, you know how I am. You know who I am.
Yes.
I can't tell you that it was not the spirit and all that I believe in and all that I know that said, no, baby girl, you're not leave here this day.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. You get that close to death. And I write about it in the book, the chapters entitled My Conversation with Death. Mm. And you get that close to death and you start looking at life a whole lot different.
Right.
You make different choices. And even that's a process. Mm. Even that is a process because it took me a long time to wrap my head around the fact that I'm not supposed to be on the phone with you right now.
Yeah.
And that probably took a couple of years.
Yeah.
To wrap my head around that. Yeah. So in all of this, there was much to share with my sister queens out there, you and the women navigating, because in my opinion, menopause is not a bad thing. It's not anything that I want my fellow sistering to think. It is a time when you are moving through to receive your crown of glory. That says, job well done, and look here, it only gets better from this point on.
Oh, my God.
You know, it only gets better. I got a goosebump from the tip of my toe to the top of my little curly head. It only gets better, my love. And that is something that I need to share that message with women.
Yeah.
I need to share that message with women and lesbian women. I need to share the message of lesbian bed deaths. You know, that's not an absolute, people.
Yes.
You know, and the fact that the way that they address it in our Western society just pisses me off even more because I side block in the chapter for lesbians and I address that,
right.
You know, because it's BS.
Yeah,
it's not real. Don't know where they came up with the term for it. I'm fairly certain it was a man, and it makes me mad.
Yeah.
You know, because we can't buy into that.
Yeah.
Because if we go on the internet, that's what's there.
Yeah.
Lesbians at death, you know, that's what lesbians have.
Yeah. Well, and they don't even have to be into menopause for that, they say, but, you know.
No. We don't.
And we all know that. We all know that. I mean, look, even straight relationships, if you're not working on the relationship, there are straight couples not having sex, you know. I mean, maybe gay men have sex, but then they go out of the relationship to have different kind of sex. You know, it's saying the same thing, and it's all about intimacy and you know, and making different choices. And as you've said the creativity, the patience, all that we've been talking about in these past two shows. I just have to say that it is important. It is important to give voice to our stories. I'm so grateful to have a podcast and a forum to give people opportunities to tell their stories, because I think we are changed by people's stories. And the one thing that I have heard, and this is somebody, you know, looking forward to menopause, and I don't mean looking forward, I mean looking ahead toward menopause.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what,
whatever, but I do know that when I have talked to a lot of women about it, because I have a lot of older women in my life, and you know, everybody has kind of a different story. So we need everybody's mm-hmm. stories, right, to gather the information and connect with mm-hmm. the pieces that we're going to connect with. And yeah. I'm really appreciative of the voices that come on here. That is a creative thing. I appreciate, Cleo, you putting the Queen's Bridge out there. And we'll have Cleo's website linked in our show notes, because I'm sure there'll be information there on the Hotline documentary and the new book where you can pick it up.
Oh, and by the way, you can also get Cleo's dry jerk rub on the website too now. I'm putting out a gourmet, hand-blended dry jerk rub that I do myself.
I was thinking for a nanosecond that that was something sexual, and then I realized it was just for the chicken. So we went from lesbian bed death to Cleo's jerk rub, and I was like, wow, that the boys are really going to like that. The girls, I'm a little, think they might be a little scared, but the boys are going to really like the jerk rub.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Oh, I'm so wrong. Oh, my God, I love you so much. What a great way to end a couple of shows with you. Cleo will be back. Pick up her book. If you're a gay man,
you all take care and get warm soon.
We will get warm soon. And if you're a gay man and it freaks you out, you know some woman who, you know, could really use this book. So pass it on to a lesbian or straight woman friend of yours over a certain age and pick up the book for her. But I appreciate you being on. I hope everybody has a great, great week. And gosh, we'll be back coming up. We're going to be talking with my high school boyfriend in the weeks to come. He has written a beautiful new play of which I'm a part of. Talk about a long time. It's taken us 3.5 years to get the play to Chicago after many years of him workshopping the play in Memphis. We were high school sweethearts. We both came out and we are still good friends. 25 years later, our silver anniversary, we're back in a creative project. So 2014, it's all lining up for me and everything that Cleo said. And I can't wait to talk to you about it and share some information with you about it in our next show. So have a wonderful, wonderful spring fling sometime this first week of April. And sending lots of love to you, lots of love to Cleo, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.